Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And I pray that God is keeping and watching over your life and sustaining you. So we have been looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we are 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the Bible tells us, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations or differences of service, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities or diversities of operations, but it is the same God who works all in all. So it is God who is working in each and every person, in each and every manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So it is God that has chosen who to give whatever gift that He has given. But the Bible is very clear that each and every believer has been given a manifestation of the Spirit. And we say this manifestation of the Spirit is a supernatural ability. It is like an anointing, a supernatural enablement, embellishment, authority that the Lord gives, that God gives to a believer to be an effective witness, to prove to himself and to prove to the world that Jesus is alive. You know, that is the function of the manifestation of the Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Spirit will come to bear witness of Jesus. It will come to reveal things from God and make them known to us. He is a Spirit that searches all things, even the deep things of God. And He has made it known to us, because no man knows the mind of a person except the man's spirit. Likewise, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit is a very integral person of God, and by Him He is able to show Himself through manifestations. Remember, He is a spirit. Spirits are like the wind. You might not be able to touch the wind or to see the wind, but you can feel the wind. You can see the effect of the wind. And likewise, also with the Holy Spirit, we see the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the evidences, the things that we can see that point to us that we are experiencing the Holy Spirit, or we are seeing the effects of the Holy Spirit. So we're able to classify the gifts, the nine gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, into three. We say they are the gifts of revelation, of which we have the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Then we have the gifts of power, of which is faith, miracles, and healings. And then we have the gifts of speech, in which we have, which are the gifts of tongues, or the and then the gifts of interpretation of tongues, and the gift of prophecy. So we yesterday we started looking at the gifts of power, and we started looking at the gift of faith, and we say that this gift of faith, it goes beyond the ordinary faith that we need to, you know, to be believers, by which we walk in, because we are saved by grace through faith. It is not of us, but it is a gift of God. And that tells us that there is a saving faith. There is a faith that is necessary for you to be saved, to believe in God, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when we have faith, it means we have put our trust in God. But you see, there is another level of faith, which is a gift of faith. And this is where there is a supernatural confidence, a supernatural belief, a supernatural substance that God gives to a person, and this person has the capacity to do great and mighty works for God. You find that this person is supernaturally courageous, supernaturally doing things that exploits. In fact, the word is exploits. They are doing exploits that an ordinarily on any day they will not even have thought of doing, or no person will just in their right mind do it, except they have heard from God, except they know something about God, or except they have received this gift of faith. So the gift of faith is actually the interlocking. It is the key that opens into the gifts of healings and the gifts of miracles. So today we are able to look at the gifts of healings and maybe possible also the gift of miracles, because they are closely interlinked. So whenever we say healings, I think we just have to go back to the beginning, and we need to ask ourselves, in the beginning, did God make sickness? No. In the beginning, God made man perfect in the Garden of Eden. Everything was refreshing itself. There was rivers. The ground will bring forth water from the ground. The plants were there. The Adam and Eve would eat to their fill. And there was nothing that sickness was mentioned. And you see, when Adam and Eve sinned, then sin entered into the world. And the end result of sin entered into the world, also other things entered. There was a bondage of corruption where creation rebelled against man, and where animals became wild. Then there was introduction of sickness. There was introduction of death. There was introduction of poverty, and all these effects, all these were effects of sin. God did not make man sin, or God's desire, if you want to say God's will. God's will for man was for man to be healthy, for man to be able to have more than enough, to be able to worship God, to be comfortable. He had responsibilities. He had a house, or he had a place where he was staying, that God had planted a garden. So God had a divine plan, and God's plan, even for man from the beginning, was good. The Bible says he saw all that he had made, and that it was good, and God blessed it. So if we go back to the beginning, we can see that sickness was not the plan of God and has never been the will of God. But then along the way, because sin entered into the world, then death entered. You know, sickness is actually gradual death. It's progressive. It's before you get to the final death, the physical death, then the cells start to die, or organs start to die, and things like that. So at the end of the day, what we see is that sicknesses are a result of sin. And one of the ways that, in when we look at scriptures, what was Jesus' perspective of sickness? Jesus' perspective of sickness, that sickness was a result of evil spirits. And whenever he met sickness, sick people, he will deal with them. He will deal with them as those that were affected or afflicted by evil spirits. The Bible tells us how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. That's Acts 10:38. He went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. So we can see that to Jesus and to the scripture, that sickness is an oppression of the devil. And one of the things that we know, because of sin as well, our bodies also age with time, and with time also, because this is a product of the sin of Adam, we human beings die on the earth. And I believe that it was not the original plan of God. And you can see even from the beginning that people were living up to 900 years, because the original plan for God was actually man to live forever. But you see, because of sin, because of the effects of sin, then the bondage of corruption came in, then our cells start to die, and there are various reasons that happen, that why people are sick. So when you look at the scriptures, you see that Jesus would give authority to his disciples to go and heal the sick. In fact, when he sends them, when he sends the 72, he gives them authority over evil spirits, and he gives them the power to heal the sick. And they go, and he tells them, whoever you go, whichever house you find, wherever you find a man of peace, enter the house, stay there, do everything, your ministry there, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. And so we see that there was a specific authority, there was a gifting that God had, that Jesus had, and that he gave his disciples, and they were able to have authority to heal the sick. So when we say a gift of, and maybe just before that, let me also say that the scriptures also say that to those who believe, these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall heal the sick, they shall raise the dead, and they shall speak in new tongues. So there is a command for all believers to lay hands on the sick and to trust God for healing. So at a general level, every believer is actually given the command to heal the sick, to preach the word, to heal the sick. And if you look at Jesus's ministry, Jesus will heal the sick, Jesus will preach, Jesus will teach, and as well, Jesus will conduct deliverance. He will cast out devils. So if you look at almost all of what Jesus did, it was miracles and healings. It was healings and miracles. Now, if you want to just ask yourself, what's the connection or what's the difference? Healings and miracles, they're quite similar, but they're not the same. When we speak of healing, it is, you know, the amending or the return to a normal state of, you know, body organs or a condition where there was sickness. And healings many times might be instantaneous. That means it might be immediate, or at times they may be gradual. So when someone, you pray for the sick, one of the things that you will see is that at that moment when they are healed, it might not even manifest immediately, but the people might wake up the next morning and they are healed completely. So it is a gradual process. And remember, like when Jesus, you know, when the centurion came for healing, and he said, it's not worthy for you to come under my house. Then he asked Jesus, just send the word. And then so Jesus sends the word. And when the centurion goes back home, what happens is that he asks, what time did my servant begin to amend? That means that the condition started to improve from that point until the point when the person is fully healed. So that means that healing could be gradual. It could also be instantaneous. The moment where Jesus will, like the woman who was crippled from, bent over for 18 years, Jesus reached out and stretched and she stood up. Now, whenever we think of healings, and if you want to compare it with miracles, miracles are actually events that go against the laws of nature. Now, miracles are actually many times they're instantaneous, and they go beyond what is actually a natural process. For example, just to, you know, like let's say someone is fully bent over, for them, for that body, those bones to straighten and align, that one goes beyond human capacity. That one is a miracle because it is a supernatural happening that has gone beyond the laws of nature. Raising the dead is actually a miracle because that one is not possible in the human sense or in the human capacity. So whenever we see the miracles and the healings, we know that these are supernatural because they are the gifts of God. Now, those that have the gift of healing or the gifts of miracles, we say they are closely linked to the gift of faith because they are gifts of power. So what happens is that anytime you see there is healing, you will see there is a linkage between the preaching of the word of God and the person receiving faith to be healed, or the person expressing faith, and then the healing takes place. And even when Jesus, when the Bible tells us that Jesus went to his hometown and the people doubted him, and the people, you know, asked, is this not the carpenter's son? The Bible says, although the healing power of God was present to heal the sick, he was not able to heal many of them. But what did Jesus do? He did not, you know, quarrel them. He just went around the villages teaching, teaching and teaching and teaching, because he knew it is their unbelief is because of their lack of faith. So faith is closely linked to healing. And then one of the things about the gifts of healing, and if one of the things that you'll see at the how the word is chosen, it is gifts of healings. That means there are many kinds of gifts of healings and different kinds of healings. That means both words are plural. In fact, in the other ones, it's gift of, but in this is gifts of healings. That tells you that there are diverse kind of healings. And those that walk in the healing grace, some will tell you that you grow in levels. You know, there's a point where God gives you that grace for, you know, opening wombs. You know, those women that are barren. And it's just a gift. And it becomes a grace that every barren womb that comes for prayer, you pray and they are open. Oh, God can give the gifts of healing of eyes, you know, and every blind eye that is met is healed. Oh, gifts of healing of, you know, ears. And gradually you can, there are different kinds of sicknesses. And one of the things that you will see is that those that operate in the gifts of healing, they realize that there are certain authorities that God has given them over certain diseases and over certain condition. And as we said, with the exercise of the anointing, with the grace of that God is given, then we grow in the authority, we grow in the ability to exercise the gift, and by the grace of God we are able to serve God. Think of how Peter on the first time when they heal the sick, you know, the crippled man, they perform a great miracle. You know, they tell them, look at us, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. So that means he knew that he had a gift of healing. He had a miraculous faculty that was given to them. Remember when Jesus said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That word there for power is dunamis. And that dunamis is a miraculous power. So you shall receive power. You shall receive that miraculous power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And Peter, at that very moment, is able to say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the Bible says he takes the hand of the man and helps him up. And that is why when we say, even just linking it to the working of miracles, it says the working of miracles. There is a working in that. There is a specific command that comes from God on how the miracle is to be done. Like, for example, like Jesus, you know, the man born blind, he makes mud, he puts it, he spits on the man, he puts it in the eyes of the man, and then tells the man, go and wash in the pool, or go and wash. And when he goes and washes, he is healed. So when they obey the command, then the miracle is done. So there is a working of miracles. Now, at times healings may be invisible. You know, you might be healed and not even know because it happens internally. But miracles are often seen. They are evidential. Now, it is God that does this. Now, when we say, remember we say, you as believers, you are called to heal the sick. In fact, the Bible says, if anyone is sick, let him call the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil, and the prayer offered in faith shall heal the sick. So all of us are called to pray for the sick too. But don't say that, oh me, I don't have the gift of healing. Now, the gift of healing is now where it now starts to work in you on a constant basis, and with the evidence that you can see that for this person, it's like they wake up with it and they just heal the sick. They meet a blind eye and the blind eye has to see. They meet a deaf ear and the deaf ear has to open. This is now where this person operates in this manifestation. For example, evangelism. You know, one of the things that when you do evangelism, and we have what we call power evangelism, is where that God enables you to be able to demonstrate the gospel, to demonstrate the power of God, to give witness of the power of God through miracles, through healings, such that people can believe that Jesus is the Son of God and Jesus is alive. And by those gifts of healing and those gifts of miracles, then the persons can believe. So this is given for the profit of all. Peter, the Bible tells us that even they place sick people so that his shadow might fall on some of them and they be healed. And the Bible says, tells us later on that all were healed. All were healed. The gift was working. When we speak of Paul, the Bible tells us that even aprons and clothes that had touched him, they were taken to sick people and evil spirits left them and they were healed. So that tells us that the gift of healing can manifest in different ways. Think of how the woman with the issue of blood just went and touched the garment of Jesus. And Jesus said, power has left me. Virtue has left me. So when we see the gifts of healings, the gifts of miracles, they're closely interrelated, but their foundation is faith. Power comes from faith. Faith comes from the word of God, hearing and hearing by the word of God. Whenever we see signs and miracles, and whenever we want these things to manifest in us, we must know that these are given by the Holy Spirit. They're given supernaturally. They're given for the profit of all. They're given as the Holy Spirit chooses who to give. But they are manifestations. God wants himself to be known. And this is not something that now you're going to, you know, to sell the gift or to prostitute the gift. Because this is something that God has given freely. And it is for the benefit of his body. Remember, the Bible tells us that, or what we learn from the Bible is that we are one body. If the eye was the leg, then where would, you know, how would you walk? We are interdependent. So that means that if you have seen that God has given the grace for healing in another person, in another minister of God, humble yourself and go and receive that gift. Go and receive that blessing and you shall get the benefit of it. It is not now it's a competition. Or it's not just because God has given you the gift of healing that now you can go and start a ministry. No. There are things that are for ministries. There is a level of authority. There is a growth. There is a submission. There is ascending. You need to know so many things before you do that. But these gifts can operate in the church, in believers, even when they are just born again. They can start and they can know. And one of the things about these gifts of healings and gifts of miracles is that they work with certain spiritual signs. Now, and what I mean by this is you will find that though there is something that those who operate in this gift, there is a moment they know when that gift starts to work. And what does that mean? Some might feel there is a burning in their hands when they are praying and their hands start to have heat. And when they place their hands on the sick, then the sick persons are made well. So there are certain signs that God will give you. It will be, you know, maybe one a sudden shaking either of your leg or of your finger, of your hand. It could be a certain sign in your body, or you start to feel a certain sickness in your body while you're preaching. That is God's way of telling you there is someone who is facing this pain. And when you speak against it, when you cast it out, then that sickness will go. So all these are gifts. They're supernatural. Remember, there is what we can do, every believer we are called to do. But then when we say a gift, we know it goes beyond what we consider ordinary. It's supernatural, it's acting all the time, and it's capacity that is given to demonstrate the Holy Spirit. Remember, the end result is the Holy Spirit wants to point to us that Jesus is alive. And thus, it's a witness of the resurrected Christ. Remember when those of Peter were asked, by what authority have you raised this crippled man? They say that it is in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who is alive, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead and has declared him to be the Son of God. Whenever these things are given, our job is to receive them. Whenever healing is prayed for us, our job is to receive it. Let us not settle and just say that, oh, it is the will of God for me to be sick. God's will is always for his children to be healed, for his children to walk in healing. Jesus tells us by his stripes, the word of God tells us by his stripes, we were healed, we received healing. And everything that Jesus did, he went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Let us believe God that we can be healed even today. And even those that are trusting God for the gift of healing, the Bible tells us, eagerly desire the greater gifts, and God is able to do it. And as you said, as you act on these gifts, they grow. As you act by faith, they grow. As you wait to hear the word of God, then you can work out the miracles. Remember, it's the working out of miracles. You're able to do it. Hear the word of God. And I pray that God will give us more insight into this. And even as we depend on his grace and his mercy, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your grace this morning to speak your word, O God. That, Lord, you have taught us that your desire is for your children to be healthy. From the beginning, you desired your sons and daughters to walk in health, to walk in divine health, to be healed. And indeed, while you are on the earth, you went about doing good and healing the sick and casting out devils and removing every oppression of the devil. The reason the Son of God was made manifest was to destroy the works of the devil. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I command every sickness, every attack of darkness to disappear from our bodies, to leave our bodies, O God, every demonic oppression to be lifted, because Father, you are the healer and you have commanded that we should heal the sick. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for healing over those that are sick this morning, over those that are sick today, O God, that your hand and power shall touch them. We cast out every demonic activity. We remove it. We bind it in the name of Jesus. I pray for renewal of strength. Let your hand, your power, your mercy walk with your children. May they experience grace in place of grace. And indeed, even the operations of these giftings, may they be made manifest in the church. May they be made manifest in our lives. May we walk in miracles. May we walk in signs. May we walk in gifts of healings for the glory of your name. We thank you and we honor you, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom and blessed day ahead.